This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan Vermeulen, particularly interesting, mybroadband.co.za this week. From SAA to cryptocurrency to vaccine certificates. Sure, lots to talk about. So let's start off with that one. Cryptocurrency. Why is it that the world's biggest cryptocurrency exchange has banned South Africans from margin trading?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and good afternoon. I've asked them, and I've asked our local regulator, and received no feedback, unfortunately. And so one is left just kind of guessing why they chose to cut us off from that. So for folks who don't know, margin trading is when you essentially take out loans to trade options on a market. In this case, it happens to be a cryptocurrency market, but it can be a regular stock market as well. Yeah. And so in this case, the exchange in question is called Binance. They're the world's biggest cryptocurrency exchange. And they've announced that South Africans will no longer be able to do any kind of futures, options, or margin trading, from the 6th of January. And basically cut us off from opening up new trades effective immediately. And the only hint we're given is that it's a regulatory issue. So it would seem that our local regulators have started cracking down further on cryptocurrencies and cryptocurrency trading. And this is one of the many victims along the way that's been affected by that. But without any kind of clear regulations, unfortunately, from our regulator on this, you know, they're just seemingly cracking down on the biggest fish, on the highest trees, as it were, without any kind of feedback about what they're doing or why.
That's interesting, Jan, because I don't think they've got a clue as to how they do want to regulate.
That's the issue, and the frustration that I'm getting from the whole industry is that there is zero regulatory certainty, which is making it incredibly difficult for our local cryptocurrency and blockchain entrepreneurs to do any kinds of international business.
Yeah, and I'm just conscious of time, and this next story is really important because I think we're all rushing off to the EVDS system to download our digital vaccination certificates. You say, okay, but be careful.
Yes, just basically don't be so excited about it that you post it or even the QR code, just the QR code on social media. It actually contains private information, not a whole lot, not information that most of which is not readily available publicly anyway due to all the data leaks. So it has your ID number, your name, and then it'll have your vaccination stuff in it. So if you've had the Pfizer shot, it'll have both Pfizer vaccines and the dates you took them in there. And it'll have your vaccination proof codes in there. And it's, it's encoded in a thing called Base64, but it's not an encryption algorithm. It's just a way to encode data to make it easier to use on the web. And so, don't go posting your QR code everywhere. It actually does contain a bunch of private info. Treat it like you might a boarding pass, or any kind of other medical record.
Very valuable.
You don't go posting those online.
Very valuable, very important advice. Thank you for that. Just a quick question to you, remark. I was pretty astounded by how well the system worked. I mean, it did what it said it would do. I went on, I pressed in the information, I got the code, and the next thing, 1, 2, 3, up popped my, it's rather incredible, Jan. I think I get surprised when things work as advertised.
Yeah, so for early adopters, it wasn't the case, but the system seems to be more stable today. And we've had our fair share of hiccups here in the office because of the way that media had their vaccines managed by the government. Unfortunately, but yeah, if you've gone through the standard process with the EVDS, then it's pretty painless getting your vaccine certificate. There were some teething problems at the beginning. The system, you know, went down a lot and so on. But yeah, it seems to be stable now and works like a charm.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And then finally this afternoon, new MTN uncapped LTE packages launched.
Yeah, this was interesting and a shot across the bow of rain, with MTN launching a bunch of uncapped LTE packages, the RAIN packages are still cheaper, but RAIN's 5G is not available everywhere. whereas MTN's 4G network is far more readily available. And MTN's fair use policy is a lot more gracious, I should say, than Rain's, from what we can see. We'll obviously put it through its paces more heavily as soon as we can get our SIM working. That's a different story entirely. But on the surface, these MTN uncapped packages compete aggressively with Rain, and it's great to see that the competition in this space is causing some price competitiveness in uncapped products. Wireless uncapped products are always a danger for these networks, but I think MTN, they've got this temporary spectrum from ICASA, which now is being threatened to be taken away on the 30th of November. We'll see what happens there. Basically, you know, experimenting with what they can do with all this additional spectrum by launching these uncapped packages. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how this shakes out, because uncapped packages have historically been a way to kill a mobile network because of just how limited the resources are on a mobile network. If you uncap your data, then the networks tend to fall over. So very curious to see how MTN performs after launching these packages.
Interesting stuff, Jan. Thank you for talking to me this afternoon. We'll chat again this time next week.
My pleasure. Have a great day further.